up that diesel. Let's go diesel.
I said he's going to be available tomorrow, so let's just talk about the Bills joint. We don't need to go into, like, great detail about this game. 37-3, obviously it wasn't the best showing from the boys, but Cliff, you had said to me privately today that, by the way, it's just me and Cliff today. Corey has some business to take care of, so we're going to just do this joint, just us two. You had said that you think that, you know, it wasn't as bad as you thought it might have been on your second watch. Go ahead and explain to the folks at home why you said that.
You know, when you're watching that, when you're watching your team get smashed in football, it seems like, oh, they're like, wow, they're so much better than us. Like, in that moment, it definitely feels that way. I think after rewatching, especially the first half, when you turn the ball over, it's going to look bad. You turn the ball over against top teams in the league, you'll get boat raced. I don't care if you're another good team, right? If the Dolphins go out there and turn the ball over five times on Sunday, they're getting blown out by the Bills.
Right.
Right? It's that simple. I feel like matchup-wise, it seemed like our defense was holding their own versus their offense. For the most part, I think they just let go. The defense seemed to let go of the rope as they realized that the offense just didn't have it today. Because the offense just didn't the offense was moving the ball, but then shooting themselves in the foot. Mm-hmm. Right? And it felt like it wasn't like we were out there and it was three and outs and we couldn't move the ball. I think the concern with Hal and the it is the degree to which every time he gets pressured, it's a sack, that can't happen. It can't be that every time there's pressure, it's a sack. It just can't be that. That's not sustainable. Mm-hmm. And that was the biggest issue on Sunday on offense. In addition to turnovers, just anytime there was pressure, it was a sack on Sunday.
Single time. Yeah, and it definitely seemed like the Bills' defensive brass definitely found a way to rattle Sam Howell in a way that he hasn't really been rattled previously. I mean, yeah, there's been pressure on Howell in all three games this season to varying degrees, but they were scheming up some things that were forcing him into hurried throws, throwing in spots that he probably shouldn't have gone, obviously, with the four picks. I think Jordan Phillips. Is it Jordan Phillips, the defensive lineman for the Bills? Whatever his name is, he had said that, you know, they saw some things on tape and they knew that they could get him to turn the ball over, which they most certainly did. So I feel like almost they were even out-coached a little bit to a degree on Sunday. What do you think?
It's hard for me to go as far as saying they were out-coached. That's hard. Mm-hmm. What I will say is, I feel like schematically, and I think I've said this after each game, there has to be some level of respect paid to the fact that Hal is a young quarterback. We have to pay some level of respect to that.
Yeah.
We can't be out here. We're asking, we're asking a lot of Hal in a way that the other QBs of his experience level are not being asked to do this much, right? Yeah. Like we all acknowledge that he's a young QB, but it doesn't feel like when we're watching the games that he's being treated like a quarterback that's in their fourth start. He's got a lot of responsibility. The RPO stuff, they might need to kill that because he's not really doing well with the RPOs. It doesn't seem like. I can't say they got out coached because I felt like the defense played a lot better than it looks scoreboard wise.
Yeah,
and then we moved the ball, right? We got in the red zone. I think I even texted y'all during the game that during that, I think it was 10-0 when we went we got stopped on downs, right? At the one.
Yeah.
I remember texting y'all and being like, man, I kind of wish it was like at the 5-yard line because then we would have kicked the field goal. And I felt like in that moment, we kind of just needed points. Right? Like, just we needed value. We needed the scoreboard to show value for what the game had really been like.
Right? Yeah.
And I think up until that point, the game had been pretty close. We had thrown a pick on the first drive. We were driving, seemingly moving the ball with no problem. And then we're in this situation where it's 10-0, we're at the one, and we don't score.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And I want to go back to the point that you made about the defense holding their own. I feel like they did a great job. I mean, like, we don't have to remind everybody that it was 16-0 going into the fourth quarter, but let's go back to the first, right? They dragged the ball on their first offensive possession. It's 3-0 at this point. Howell ends up throwing the pick on 3rd and 19 on a ball that you absolutely cannot throw. You just can't do it. It's 3rd and 19. Take the check down. Send Joey Sly onto the field for the 3-point attempt, right? Then, as we mentioned, they drive all the way down to the field to the 1. I think actually it was from the 2 on the 4th down attempt because I think he lost a yard on 3rd down. And they don't get it. If you take the 3 there, and let's just pretend that he gets 3 on that first drive, then it's 6 points right there. And then on that 4th down conversion, the Bills went 4 in the fourth quarter, opened the fourth quarter. It's still 16-0 at this point. Let's pretend like you're only down by, you know, whatever. Let's say it's 16-6. You get the ball back, and then Antonio gives some fumbles right away. I say this to say it felt like the defense kept you in the game long enough, but the longer the offense languished and was turning the ball over and not taking points, eventually the dam was going to break. And when Antonio Gibson fumbled that ball back, that's when the run of 21 straight unanswered points to finish the game kind of just happened. It's like, okay, well, the defense can't hold them any longer. You're giving them the ball at the 30-yard line, right? Josh Allen is bound to make a big play at some point, and he had like a 25-yard run for a touchdown on that like last play. It's just like the defense did their job, but the offense just wasn't doing their part. Probably couldn't use the points.
And as long as it was a 2-score game, it felt like we were still in the game.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Like, even it was 16-0. The Gibson fumble was just deflating. Deflated the stadium, deflated it. Like, 16-0, even though it was like, man, we feel like we're shooting ourselves in the foot. We're still in this game. We just need, really, we just need to get a touchdown.
Yeah.
We need to get a score in 2, even if it's 16-6, we just need to get on a board. I think that's where we were at that point in the game. And then for Gibson, the fumble, it was the first play of the drive, wasn't it?
It was the very first play of the drive, yep. Grand opening, grand closing.
Because we knew it was over. It was going to become a 3-score game, and now, regardless of whether it's 19-0 or 23-0, You're way out of this. It's going to be a long road back.
I think we'd seen them come back so many times, or in both games, to say not so many times, but they come back in week 1, come back in week 2. Even though it's 16-0, it's, you know, the literal, like, farthest stretch of a 2-score game, I didn't feel like it was over. Especially when they got that stop, because the defense only held them to 1 touchdown at that point, right? It's a bunch of field goals, Josh Allen, explosive offense, but...
I think they'd only been in the red zone once.
Uh-huh.
If I remember correctly. Right. Like, it wasn't like they were going up and down the field with no problem.
They weren't. It was just the dam was due to break if you weren't going to get any momentum on offense. And when Gibson put that ball on the turf, I was like, yo, this game is most definitely over right now. Is it time for Gibson to – I don't know. What do you do with Gibson at this point? Like, I think that fans – I'm only speaking for me, but I think that I have a good grasp of the fan base is saying right now, like, we want to give this man the benefit of the doubt, but it's now year 4, dude. You fumbling twice in the first 3 weeks. At this point, it's got to be a wrap. Like, I don't know what we do with him moving forward, but I think it's got to be B-Rob and maybe a B-Rob and Chris Rodriguez sort of combo moving forward. I mean, what do you even do with 24 at this point?
I think the issue is you're not good enough to fumble this much, right? If there are certain backs who've been very good who have fumbling problems, and so you're like, well, you're still pretty good. You're not even that productive. So it's not. So it's like, why are we even putting you out here? You fumble at the worst times. Not that there's a good time to fumble, but you fumble at the worst times. It's hard, man, because you got to replace him, right? But what am I losing? If we're being real, what are we losing by not playing Gibson? His explosive plays are not there, right? He had a 30-yard screen pass. Everybody treated it like, you know, it was the most shocking thing ever because they hadn't seen it in a while.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean,
the whole reason we drafted Brian Robinson for real is because of Gibson's fumbling problems. You remember what Rivera said when we drafted Brian Robinson. He talked about how Robinson never fumbled. You remember that?
Yeah. To his credit, he hasn't fumbled in the league either. I mean, I'm knocking all the woods right now, but I don't think he has a fumble so far. Yeah, does he?
I don't think he has a fumble lost. He has a couple fumbles, but no fumbles lost.
Oh, yes, right. I think he had a couple, like, out-of-bounds sort of situations last year.
Yeah. But Gibson, I think it's the timing of his fumbles. And as much as that he fumbles, it's one thing to fumble when the game is, we're getting cooked. You put one on the turf, right? His fumbles are either inside our own 30 or inside their 30.
I think I'd seen a stat. I want to give proper credit to this whoever posted it. I think George Carmi posted it. It's from a source. I don't know what source. He has 8 lost fumbles in 4 years, and I think all but one have been inside the 37-yard line.
Yeah.
Like, I'm like, so I guess that would have made the fumble from this past Sunday the only fumble he's ever had, like not driving in for a score, which is just like, yo, it's impossible that you are fumbling at only the wrong times.
Remember you had the really bad one week one versus the Chargers.
Right. Oh, you're right.
Really bad one. And I think that was like inside our 10.
Right. I must be misremembering what this quote was exactly, because that was like a fumble inside our own 15-yard line, which led to what easy score. And
I think I remember because I think you might have posted it.
Yeah.
But basically it was like the expected points lost by his fumbles. We're like up there with like the top guys in the league. Like, cause his fumbles are bad, man. They're at the worst times always. Always. And they seem to happen a lot on first down. Like we just come on the field, we're like, cool, let's get the ball to Gibby real quick. You know, big drive. Hand the ball to Gibby, fucking lays it on the turf. We also never recover his fumbles for whatever reason.
M. Jones just squirt right to the defense.
But that's because he has them. That's because he has them. He be coughing the shit out of them joints.
Right. He don't just put them joints in the turf. Them joints are long gone.
The joints got the flu.
He's like, here you go, nigga. Just whoops a daisy.
Because he'll be fumble it and it like bounces back to him. Nigga fumble it, hit off his helmet. Bounce this way, you know you're not getting it back. It's always like 6 of their guys right there.
Man, he never learned to carry that rock. And as much as he's tried to do things like change his body type, like different styles of carrying the rock, it's just I think B. Mesh said he's just not focused. And I trust B. Mesh. He's was in this league for a long time, and B. Mesh rarely fumbled. It's a focus thing. It's not like a thing that he's not doing. He's just not thinking about. Holding onto the ball when he's doing it, and that's a skill that you can't reteach. You got to just focus. He's not doing it.
And I think the thing is that everybody likes him. Everybody likes Gibby.
Yeah.
So everybody's rooting for him. But when is enough enough? It's the same thing with Cheeseman. What lengths are you going to let this go to before you decide to do something? Does Gibby need to fumble again on Sunday? Because if he fumbles again on Sunday in a big spot, this is on the coaches. Why is this guy out here?
Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely. I don't even know if you can trust Gibson in a tight spot. Like, if it's a tight game on Sunday versus Philly, and Gibson has the rock, like, even before he fumbles, I'm going to be like, yo, you're taking an awful risk right now putting him on the field. You know, I know you have to play the players you got, but he clearly can't be trusted.
Right. We're at the point where everybody's aware this person can't be trusted with the ball. And mm-hmm. if there's a fumble, no one can act surprised.
Absolutely not. I think even when he fumbled on Sunday, I was like, well, that's what we get.
Yeah. There you go. Yeah. But you know what's funny is when he fumbled, it was like, oh, yeah, it's one of them days. It's one of those days. We'd had two weeks where our team was able to turn the tide, right? And that fumble was a sign of like, no, that's not happening today, folks. Okay, all that comeback shit, you can go ahead and dead that. It's not that kind of party. Okay, this is we're giving you early 2020. We're giving you real September Ron Rivera football today, folks. Okay. It's gonna remind you of what it's like. So, and you know what's funny is when the game started, that first pass by Allen when he hit Diggs when he rolled out, I was like, "Oh, it's gonna be a long day," because that throw was so sick. That throw was so sick, and it looked so simple. And I was like, "Oh nah, he's dealing today." Oh. It's like when those pitchers step on the mound, those aces. And you could tell by the start of the game, you're like, oh no, that pitcher's locked in. We're not getting a lot of hits today. And you could tell with Josh Allen, oh no, this guy's locked in.
We kind of felt like, I mean, I know I for sure felt the only way you're going to beat Josh Allen is if Josh Allen is having one of his week one Jets games. You don't got it. As soon as he had that first throw, I was like, yep, he's locked in.
You're going to need 30.
You got to be something crazy. Yep.
Mm-hmm. You're going to need 30 today. And that's the thing about playing those top QBs.
Yeah. I mean, they're incredibly hard to beat if you can't. Well, if they're not beating themselves to a degree, you have to do some extraordinary defense. The defense only had one pressure, no sacks. It just wasn't. Josh Allen is just different, man. He's different than every quarterback. You play this season, he's different. Every quarterback you're going to play this season.
Right.
Is he the best quarterback we're going to play in 2023? Like so far in the schedule? I mean, I would say so. I think he's like more talented.
You know what I would say about him? He has the highest in-game ceiling of the QBs we will face this year.
Yeah.
Week to week, there might not be that.
Mm-hmm.
But when he's going, his ability, like, it's like, what can we do? Like, even on that play, Sweat usually runs through that quarterback, sacks him. Because it was Josh Allen, he felt the need to jump, try to tip the pass, and then Allen had time to make the throw. It's tough, man. It's tough to beat those kind of teams when it's like we're starting a guy and it's fourth start. You have to play really well. You have to play really, really well. And Sam just didn't. He just didn't have it. It was like a Gio start from Sam. Gio Gonzalez. It's like one of those. It's like, oh, we're just not going to get this right. And it's weird because we were still moving the ball. Right? We were still moving the ball. It's just we just couldn't get that first score, man. And respect to Ron for kicking that field goal, man. Fuck that. Not shutting us out. Fuck out of here.
Yeah. That's totally fine. I have no problem with that. Kick the field goal. I mean, I think they've only been shut out at home. They haven't been shut out at home since, 2014. Hey, you don't want to get shut out ever. You don't want to get shut out at home either. It's at 37-0. It's not like you lost, 21-0, 22, 24, 27-0. 37-0 is an ass whooping. It's an ugly ass score to a goose egg. You need to get some points on the board. But, like you said, man, it was tough. Like, they had a chance on that first drive through the pick. They're driving, went for a fourth down, didn't get in. Then you throw another pick into the end zone where you're going for, I think it was Curtis Samuel and Trey White got the best of them. It's just like every time you're going in for a score, the game could have been much closer than the scoreboard actually indicated. Even though maybe you weren't as close to beating them if you had gotten those touchdowns and field goals, because, I mean, clearly the Bills were the better team on Sunday. There's no denying that. But it was just like, damn, you're just right there. But at the same time, Sam Howell was due to have a game like he had on Sunday, man. Like, we all knew that the Denver win, as satisfying and as much as we would like to beat our chest and be like, Sam Howell's arrived, like, he's still a guy who's making his fourth career start. Like, he was going to have some ups and downs. And that's why I said in the beginning of the pod, it seemed like they were out-coached, because they figured out a way to get Sam Howell to do something that the Broncos couldn't do. The Cardinals couldn't do it. They couldn't get him to turn the ball over. I mean, he turned the ball over versus the Cardinals, but it was never like, yo, the Bills are definitely have some right. They got something going right now where they have him rattled. Like, he's not going to get this right today.
He threw some bad picks. The first pick is a good play by the linebacker, but you can't throw that pass. That doesn't make sense. That Tre'Davious White pick, can't throw that. That's a hell of a play on the interception return for a touchdown. Like, what I'll say for the Bills is the Bills made every play when it was the opportunity to make a play. And that's the thing when you're playing those kind of teams. They might come out here and guys are just making plays. Who made a play for us on Sunday? The only play we really made was that Curtis Samuel play. That's the only play we really made all game. That was a big play.
Good throw, right?
And, like, good job by Curtis. But outside of that, no one really made a play for us.
No. I mean, I will push back a little bit and say,
We didn't get a big defensive play.
I think Robinson had a big day. And we need to perhaps revise our
– I mean, you say you can say he had a big day, but – You can say he had a big day, but we need a game-changing play.
Yeah, he didn't really give
us that. Like, we needed someone. Their guys were making plays. Our guys weren't making plays.
They were not.
We needed someone to pop up and make a play, whether it's Derek Forrest, whomever.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, the day could kind of just be, encapsulated with that play that Steph Diggs had, like, that, like, 25, 30-yard catch and run where it literally, like, glanced off Cam Curl's, like, fingertips as he just, like, just barely slid out of the passing lane. He is reaching backwards.
Lucky he didn't lose those fingers.
Right.
That ball was fucking humming.
That joint had some fucking grease on it. Absolutely. That joint was – I've seen pass by that break folks' fingers. Like, let's put it like that. That joint would have – taking a
but you're right. That was a huge play. Was that a third down?
It was a third down. It was a third and long. I think it was like third and 11 or something like that. I was like, yo, that's just the day it is. But it actually brings me to another good point. And it's a point I kind of wanted to bring up since last week, but I wasn't going to do it since we're winning games. It seems like Diggs had every big catch for them this past Sunday. Like, every time it was third and long, they just went to Diggs, and Diggs was open for like a big game. I'm not saying that, like, there needs to be more targets as long as the offense is moving, but Jahan Dotson has been awfully quiet in the first 3 weeks, right? Like, no touchdowns, that's fine. There's lots of mouths to feed, but he was a no-show on Sunday. I don't even think it's his fault. Are you worried about Dotson and his usage in the offense?
I think it's hard to anticipate targets when the QB's young, right? Because I also hear people complaining about Terry's number of targets. We can't be out here expecting Sam Howell to be able to, like, a week ago people were like, oh, great, we're spreading the ball around. You know what I mean? Last week was like 9 guys caught 2 passes or something like that. I thought we would see more Dotson, but I also wonder, the first half of these games, man, we are so so pass happy in the first half of these games. And because he's taking sacks, we sort of end up in situations where you can't really draw up your good stuff. It's fucking second and 17. You know what I mean? I think that makes it tough. But, yeah, I thought we would see more of Dotson. But, listen, he forced that ball to Dotson on the interception. He shouldn't have thrown the ball there.
Yeah, definitely should not have.
Right. And the funny thing is he had Dotson on that Cole Turner target in the red in the, inside the 5.
That was the fourth down play, I believe, too, right?
I think Cole Turner might have been the first down. No, yeah, it was first down because fourth down he had to scramble.
Right. Okay, you're right.
Yeah, I think first down he had Dotson. I think they had like bunch trips, bunch to the left, and Dotson ended up being open. It's hard, man, because I feel like with Sam, we got to find a balance in terms of how we talk about his play. He literally has barely played. And so while he might do some things that exceed our expectations, this is like so early in the process. And yeah, I think absolutely. That's why my concern is like, I feel like we're not, and this is a Bieniemy thing. Because I'm going to tell you right now, if that was Scott on Sunday, fans would not have been happy. They would not have been happy. They've been very critical of that game plan if that was Scott Turner. I'll put it like that. Because we cannot be like, hey, we're playing the Bills. Sam, 25 passes first half. There's no fucking chance. Like, and the funny thing is, you said it last week when you were like, our way to win the game is to run down, is run heavy, et cetera, et cetera. But like I said to you, I was like, I just don't see Bieniemy. He's from the Andy Reid school. That's just not how they work.
Well, do you think that Eric Bieniemy needs to amend part of his offense, especially considering that he's been taking so many sacks, Sam Howell's been taking so many sacks? I mean, for the preservation of the offense and the team, also to protect Sam Howell from himself while he figures this shit out.
Yeah, I mean, they gotta do some things that like make things easier for him. I just like when I watch the games on Sundays for the younger quarterbacks, like they really don't ask them to do as much as Sam is being asked. They really don't, right? Gotta give him some easier stuff. We're in shotgun all the time, right? We're always in shotgun.
Everything on play.
There needs to be. So it's funny because last season, and this will come back to Rivera, right? Last season, people get critical of Ron, even though Ron goes to Scott and is like, hey, stop with all this fucking passing. We are a run heavy defense first team. We need to lean into that. People don't like that Rivera does that because then you see all these stats like, oh, look at this team. They run the most on first down. And it's like, yeah, but we won like 7 out of 9 doing that.
Yeah.
Right? Mm-hmm. Rivera at some point is going to go to Bieniemy if this continues and it's not working. He's going to be like, hey, got to tighten it up. We need to win football games. We can't be having them out here taking these sacks, putting us in the hole in the first half. Because if you think about these games, we've been in the hole in the first half because he's been taking sacks. Second half of the games, we have not been throwing as much. There's been less opportunities to sack us.
Yeah. I was going to ask you, do you think that Ron should or needs to go to Eric and like have a discussion with the offense and just the way it's been going so far? I don't know if do I think he should? Probably, but also,
not yet. You think he should?
Maybe
now?
Not yet.
Not yet.
I also feel like you don't need to tell Eric Bieniemy, hey, versus Philly, we can't throw the ball 31 times in the first half. Like, I know the Philly's not really like great in the secondary this year. Like, their strength is up front, but also Jalen Carter is wrecking shit. Like, we can't have Sam Howell taking infinity dropbacks in the first half. I don't know what your end game is. Are you trying to, like, is this for the offense's benefit, you think, or is this for Sam's benefit? Like, trying to get him, let him go through his lumps and this and that. But passing the ball versus the Eagles needs to be capped at some point. So, I mean, for his own preservation, but, like, I say it to say this. Do you think that it's going to be a bad look for Eric Bieniemy? You brought him in. You gave him the reins. You gave him the chance to mold this offense in whatever way he saw fit. And we're not even through the first month, and you're already thinking about telling him to rein it back.
I don't think it's a matter of rein it back. I think it's like there has to be adjustments. I think regardless of what happens on Sunday, in between the end of that Thursday night game and week six, they're going to make adjustments to the offense, would be my guess. Because you have a young QB, like you're going to have to adapt as the season goes on. There might even need to just be an emphasis on the stuff that he likes the most. Just doing more of that. Like, there's going to have to be some – this is not sustainable, 30 mm-hmm. dropbacks in the first half. It's just not. Mm-hmm. We don't have that kind of QB. Like, nope, he's just not at that point yet. And you hope that he gets to that point, but everybody needs to win games. So if that if that conversation, because it doesn't help our defense that our offense plays this way.
Nope.
It doesn't. You just got covered on negative plays. Like, Go ahead.
No, I was going to say, to Sam's credit, he doesn't seem like he's rattled by the interceptions or getting sacked. Like, he's a tough dude. He's kind of taking it in stride. He's
continuing to throw the ball. Maybe you need to be a little rattled, though, Sam. but seriously, I'm cool with, like, you people being all cool, calm, and collected. But you out here throwing picks and taking sacks, my guy. Like, cool and calm and all is fine, but you can't keep taking these sacks, man. You will not end it. You will not finish this season. I promise you. Let me tell you something. You hold on to the ball like that on Sunday, you're not finishing that game. I'm saying that plain and simple. If I see on Sunday what I saw, what if I see on Sunday versus Philly what I saw versus Buffalo, he's not finishing that game. I'll tell you that right now. Jacoby, get warmed up. Oh boy. I actually think he might have hurt his hand too. On that.
You mean Sam?
Yeah.
Oh yeah, we didn't even talk about that. Sam, you gotta learn to slide, bro, because you're not gonna last taking hits like that.
Yeah.
The way that Tim Sell tuned your ass up, I thought you wasn't getting up from that hit.
My boy tough, but like, dude, we don't need to know that you're that tough. We just don't. Man. We really don't. Take your word for it.
What adjustments would you make to the offense? Like, if you were the OC for the next, let's call it the next 10 days, that carries you through the Eagles game and the Bears game, before you get that little mini bye where you can make more like wholesale sort of changes, what would you do?
See, you know, this is how I know I'm getting washed, man. In my younger years, I'd have said, air that shit out. Okay, need to spread these motherfuckers out. We need to get more wide receiver screens going. Curtis in the backfield more. We need to do a little more. Let's do a little bit more quick stuff. Takes the ball out of Sam's hand, but get the ball to the receivers. Nah, fuck that. B-Rob, Chris Rodriguez, we need to pound that rock, period. We are a ground and see, this is why I will always be a Rex Ryan guy. This is because it's like, this is who we are. It's one thing to be like, well, we want to put up 30 points. It's like, cool, everybody wants to put up 30, man. We want to put up 32. But really, our team is a defense first physical team. I wanted to beat them when the game ends. Man, we don't want to play the Commanders again. That was physical.
Yeah, man.
Go ahead.
No, I was going to say, it's almost a shame that we have so many good players on the outside, because this team is kind of built to be that Ron Rivera ground and pound team. And you almost argue that it would behoove us to kind of go back to this.
In this conference, too. In this current conference. It would behoove us if we were a run first, play action, ground and pound, ground the clock team.
Yeah.
It really would. That is the weakness. To me, that is the weakness of the Eagles. It is the weakness of the Cowboys. 49ers, not so much. We tried to run the ball in the 49ers last year. That shit did not go well.
They different. They build different. They got
But you know what? We have huge advantages on the outside versus them.
Mm-hmm. You sure did.
But for the most part, that's the kind of to me, that's the most successful version of this team. People just love offense, man. Mm-hmm. But I would turn it back to some LT Sean Green Jets shit. We are ground and pound. You know when we show up, it's 40 carries coming to your ass.
Mm-hmm. And this is for now. I mean, this is an evolving offense. You don't have to always be that, because one day, if Sam figures this shit out and you still have this weapons group intact, like, you can air the ball out on just about anybody. But until we get there, we need to find a way to win games. And you have a running back, you know, and we have been critical of Brian Robinson at times, well deserved. He's looked like he's turned it around a little bit. He's been impressing me a little bit. You give this man 20 to 25 carries a game, give Chris Rodriguez another 5 to 10, like, you could probably beat most teams if the defense is playing well.
You will be in damn near every game.
Yeah.
At worst.
So I'm just laughing because we talked all season about how we couldn't wait for Eric Bieniemy to open this offense up, and now it's September 28th, and we're like, let's go back to the way it was.
Well, going into the year, man, I've been, like, wondering, like, what is his ethos? I assumed he would be very much like Andy Reid, which means that's just – they're going to throw the ball, man. Andy Reid wants to throw the ball.
Yep. And
so do I. So do I, okay? But, like, you need to win games, man. And so yeah. I think the hard thing to do sometimes, especially in the NFL, when you're only playing one game a week, your team gets smashed. You're like, oh, it's all doom and gloom.
Mm-hmm.
I better see something Sunday, though. Because if you get blown out twice in a row, even though you have that Bears game coming, that is a reminder of how far away you are from competing for anything of any importance.
Yeah, these are facts, man. Like, I would take 3-2 after the Bears game. And, I mean, I don't want to call the Bears game a win. It seems to be the Bears are one of the weaker teams on our schedule right now, even weaker than the Cardinals at this point. I mean, I would hope we could win that game on a short week here in D.C. But even if they lose to the Eagles, I need them to show up. I need y'all to show better than you showed on Sunday. The last thing I want to ask you about before we jump here today, the rush defense, right? I know that we had been critical of the linebackers and Barton's lack of physicality and such. I don't know what the blame is, but James Cook kind of had a day against us on Sunday as well. Like, I don't know what his total line was, but it seems like, especially in the second half, he was ripping off like 7 to 8 yard runs whenever he felt like it. And this is like the third time in as many weeks that the running back has kind of, I mean, maybe not gone off on us, but it's averaging a really crazy high, like, yards per carry. What do you think that is? Like, and what do you think the fix could possibly be?
I feel like that was more of them letting go of the rope. Because I feel like first half, they were shutting down the run first half, I felt like.
Yeah, they were.
Right? I'm with you, though, because there's a part of me that feels like when I'm watching our defense that it's like if the D-line isn't making plays, no one else seems to be making plays out here.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Forbes had a pick. Outside of his pick, what has the secondary done? Fuller had a pretty good pick.
That's an arm punt, though. I mean,
yeah, it's fine. Yeah. The king of the arm punts, by the way, that guy.
He does that every third down, third and long. He's like, fuck it, I'm just going deep. I don't care if it's picked or not. I'm just going deep. Not a bad strategy, though.
That is a disregard for the football that makes you untrustworthy in major spots. that's just all I'll say about that. I can't imagine any top quarterback that I can't imagine any QB that we would rank among the best of all time being okay with arm punts. There's no damn way. There's just no way. Could you imagine Tom Brady just being like, fuck it, I'll take an interception? There's no way. That's that is a disregard for the safety of the football.
Maybe he's hoping for that pass interference, bro. He's just like, I'm putting it up there. Maybe that's it.
Yeah, Josh, some, Josh, I've seen you throw them to Isaiah McKenzie. But I think that's the question, right? I think on offense, we got guys that'll make plays. Sam has made plays with his feet, with his arm. Terry makes plays. Obviously, we hope Dotson can make some plays, more plays soon. Robinson's been playing well. On defense, the other seven guys, come on. It can't be that every week we're just like, well, the D-line didn't do anything. That's why we lost. Or where was the D-line this week? It's like, dude, that's not how the NFL works. The D-line is not going to literally dominate every single game. That's not how it works.
They couldn't possibly do that.
There's like ways to neutralize D-lines. There are ways to limit their impact. Where are we got first round, second round pick in the secondary. Cam Curl back there. Derek Forrest hasn't done much this year, three games in.
Nope. And I mean, I'm not even get on his ass about that touchdown I gave to Gabe Davis on Sunday, because that was a hell of a throw, but that was on him. He just wasn't in position.
Yeah, he was in poor position. That was a hell of, that ball was on a line.
Holy fucking rogue. No, he threw a joke from the far hash, maybe like the 43, 44 yard line. That joke was on a dart. A dime. Fucking you frozen rope.
You would have thought it was a 20 yard throw.
Right.
Like, by the trajectory of it. His arm
when I was watching that joint live, I was like, man, that ball is still going. Where's it going? To the end zone? Damn it.
And that's the difference with those guys, man. They just like, it's hard to get mad because you know that they're making plays that like, Jalen Hurts not making that throw, bro.
I'm sorry. Make it. Won't attempt it.
Make it. Yeah, like, no disrespect. Dak's not making that throw.
Fuck no. Hell, sorry. The list of guys in the NFL right now that would attempt that throw and complete with regularity is probably like just Mahomes and Josh Allen. That's probably it.
Mahomes, Allen. I think Anthony Richardson could make that throw.
Oh, yeah, but we got to see him. We got to see
can he make that throw to where – can he do it like every single time? No, but in terms of like a 46-yard on a rope, literally – you would never think that this throw was possible. Because Forrest probably didn't think it could even get there in that manner.
That's probably why he was giving up so much space on the outside. Or maybe, I mean, it's possible that he was like, man, I'm going to cover, like, the inside, like, kind of post area a little bit more because there's no way that he could certainly get it to that pylon. Oh, he attempted it. Yeah, oh, he completed it.
There's no way he can get it to that pylon without me getting there. In first. Time to like at least he was nowhere near the ball.
Hell of separation. Also, when did Gabe Davis start separating on DBs? I was waiting for this last year when I joined like 8 fantasy squads. What happened?
I don't know what's going on with Gabe Davis. Look, they got a big game on Sunday. We're gonna find out about them.
Mm-hmm.
I personally see, I'm gonna sound like a hater when I say this. They didn't seem that daunting to me. Certainly not how it felt 2 years ago when we played them.
No.
I think like definitely we shot ourselves like, in the foot a lot.
Yeah, I think like casual fans would probably be like, oh, that game was like whatever the score was, like 45-10 or whatever that score that day was 2 years ago. You know, 37-3 ain't much better, but the way we got to there was much, much different. Like, you spotted them 16 points early. It stayed like that for most of the game. And then they scored 21 points in the fourth quarter, and they made it like look like a blowout. And it was, but I don't know. It was a bad game. It's the type of game where, like, if I was a coach, we never been watching the film with this joint. We just moved on to Philly, man, because it's a bad game by most players. Y'all weren't prepared. The weather sucked. A better quarterback just kind of made plays up and down the field. It was just like, yo, we're just going to move on to Philly and try to rebound and get ready for a 4-1 starter for Ken.
Dude, he took 9 sacks, man. That's crazy.
Yeah. I mean, you can't have it. You just can't have it. Whether it's Sam, like, saving himself or EB doing it for him, like, something has to change on offense because he can't take 9 sacks. He can't take 5 sacks, really. It's just too many.
Yeah, it's too many, and the other guy took zero. So,
yeah.
Like, you're in a game where you turn the ball over five times.
And so, turnover on downs.
And a turnover on downs. You took 9 sacks. You're getting blown out.
Yeah. Very simple. I mean, I don't see a circumstance in which you stay close in a game like that, let alone win. I mean, fuck, you negative 5 and taking 9 sacks? You deserve to lose by 34 points.
And thing is, we still could have been – that game could have been like 16-10.
Mm-hmm. Really could have been.
Midway through the third quarter. It really could have been. And that's the tough part. We just couldn't find a way to like I think that's like the difference when you have the top QBs. When you have a top QB in that kind of game where you're able to just hang in there, all of a sudden you get one touchdown, it's 16-8.
Right.
And it feels like you shouldn't have been in the game, but it's like, nah, we're here because our defense has actually just been keeping us, like, just been biding our time for us. But
yeah. Yeah. No, I definitely feel you on that, man. The last thing I'll say is just, I mean, it's only one loss. It's an out-of-conference loss. It doesn't hurt you that much, right? Mm-hmm. And I would argue, you know, you have 2 games in the next 8 days. Time stamp is Wednesday evening at 7:04 p.m. By this time in 8 days, you will have played 2 games, right? Or you'll be playing your second game, right? Take this ass-whooping, you know, let's just clean it up. We have a lot of things to work on. But you have a chance to go 3-2, maybe even 4-1 if you play your cards right. You know, it is what it is, man. Take the L. Move on. Mm-hmm. You have a chance to get a jump on the rest of the division right now with Dallas losing. The Giants are 2-1. You can play Philly. You can beat them on Sunday.
The Giants, damn, for sure ain't no 2-1. They stink.
1-2, my bad. Out they loud. Stink. Hey, shout out to the Giants fans. Y'all were telling me all season that y'all were not only better than us, but you were competing for the division. Get your ass back in the basement.
They stink, stink. And they're on Monday Night Football again this week.
Who are they playing?
Seahawks.
Oh, my God. Gino, go off. Please, I beg of you.
That's 1-3. You can go ahead and snap that. That's 1-3.
Is it going to be out again?
I have no idea. You can Saquon, you can play, not play. Up to you. Doesn't matter. 1-3. Go ahead and book it.
Every game I've watched this season, and I mean to a lesser degree the Cardinals game, but definitely the Cowboys and the Niners. Hey, hold on for 1 second, Cliff. Hold on 1 second.
All right.
I would say that their lack of talent, it has kind of reared its ugly head, which is why I thought it was funny where Giants fans were saying this shit all, like, y'all think y'all can hang with the Eagles and the Cowboys and the Niners? Like, y'all aren't that good.
Yeah, like, what are y'all talking about? Like, you played the Vikings in the playoffs. That was, like, the only team you could stay close with. You ended up winning the game. The Eagles game was not competitive. Right? Their playoff game versus the Eagles wasn't competitive.
It wasn't. No, absolutely wasn't. Like, that's, like I said, this is why I think it's strange that they were like, oh, we could actually compete for the division. Like, have y'all not seen Philly? Have y'all not seen Dallas? Like, no. Sit your ass down.
We've been to Philly. We went to Philly last year. We won out there. You could be 4-1 in 8 days. And then what? Right? You got to play a good game versus Philly. But Philly hasn't looked all that great, right? They haven't looked all that great. They have not hit their stride yet at all. Although,
yeah,
part of me feels like someone is going to be taking an ass whooping from the Eagles soon. Let's just hope it's not us. Someone's going to be on the business end of, like, A.J. Brown, Devontae going off and getting torched, but if we can find a way to win that game, maybe find a way. We can beat the Eagles. I don't see why we can't. Got to play a really good game. Then you play the Bears, you could be 4-1 going into a 10-day break. You know how amazing that would be?
As crummy as people feel right now, like after this loss to the Bills, if we're talking about being 4-1, heading into a Falcons game in a couple of weeks, like people are really going to be like invested. Like, and as invested as you can be at 5 weeks in, 4-1, and you would be in first place in the division. Yeah, that's it's like full throttle, like pedal to the floor. Like we're really like all in on this team, like for damn sure.
Yeah, you 4-1 and chilling. 4-1 chilling. Got a little extended break. We don't have to worry about the team for a little bit. We're watching the other team's games. Look at these bums. That shit would be beautiful, man. Just find a way, man. Like, you got to find, and we can't be treating it on some underdog shit. Like last year when we beat them, it was like we were this plucky upstart. Nah, we got to. The Eagles are a good team. Okay, cool. We gotta take it to them, man.
Yeah, and I've seen fans like talking about last season winning in Philly, which is great, and you know, I'll never forget. But I don't want to win that game in the same way. I mean, not that it was like a fluke, but like you beat them. You had 42 minutes of time possession. You forced 4 turnovers. You're likely not going to beat them in the same way again. Like get the win in any way you possibly can. But I want to see a effort on Sunday that's more like consistent with a good team beating another good team rather than a bad team getting lucky to get a W on the road. Like let's put it, like I said, you have time to fix everything that you need to fix since last Sunday, right? You're going into Philly. You know that you have shit to work on. Let's just kind of work on the clock and figure this shit out on the go, because we can't afford to go into Philly like kind of guessing what our plan is going to be.
I'm here.
My bad.
Also can't afford to go out there, and that's the part with Sam, right? Like, you know that crowd's going to be rowdy. You can't go out there and just be taking sacks, man. It'll get ugly quick. O-line will have no fucking idea. The crowd will be loud as hell, and it'll get ugly quick. So that's the part where it's like you do need to tweak the game plan. You can't come out here with 30 dropbacks. If he drops back 30 times in the first half Sunday, he will not be starting second half of that game.
Yeah. Too many to survive
that shit. Fucking Jalen Carter. I can't believe they ended up with him. It's kind of
disgusting. I can, unfortunately, I can believe it because and the thing about it is like people are going to be like, Howard Roseman does it again. I was like, man, the man didn't do anything but just stand pat and let other idiots pass up on the best player in the draft.
Right.
He's just, I mean, anybody who drafted him at 10 or 9 or whatever he went would have looked like a smart guy in that position. He's just, unfortunately, is our division rival who's right, right. On defense. So
it was like, this wasn't a hard decision.
It truly was not. It was like the equivalent of not Ted Leonsis. What's my man's name? Ernie Grunfeld drafting John Wall or Brad Beal. Is like, what else was he going to do in that position? Like, don't give this man too much credit.
Well, for come on, ninth now. Pick, it's the number one player on the board.
Right. Who just happens to like, you know what? I was going to say something. Let me not say it.
Someone did die. Let's
keep that. Let's not forget that. This man, and Devin lied to the popos about it. Let's keep it funky.
Player, man. And then I saw, I don't know if you saw, what's his name on Sunday, Jordan Davis out here looking like a bouncer.
Big as shit out there.
It's gonna be a tough game but Sam worried me on Sunday because I've seen that look before. You can be as stoked as you want to be, but my boy, you're getting hit and you're like looking at one receiver.
Yeah, that was the Sam we didn't want to see. That's the Sam that we thought was those days were over. Like, oh, you're reverting. But I mean, I it's easy to say you're reverting when it's the first time Sam's been under like that kind of pressure. Like, yeah, he got pressured versus the Falcons and the Broncos, but I feel the Bills were in his face every fucking play. Like, yeah, of course, it's easy to revert back the first time.
Yeah, but you're holding the ball 3.5 seconds on your sacks, man.
No doubt.
Get the ball out of your head. Do you want to survive? You will not survive out here giving those people nearly 4 seconds to come hit you. It's not happening.
Yeah.
Like, imagine if Josh Allen was just standing back, and he's like standing in the pocket. It's not like Sam is like scrambling and then going this way, going, no. He's generally in the pocket. 3 seconds. 3.5 seconds. There is no fucking chance you're surviving standing in a pocket like that. Zero. If you gave our D-line 3.5, 4 seconds to rush the passer and told them that the quarterback was going to be standing at the same spot where they received the snap, get fucking 100 sacks a season.
Yep. You got to figure it out. Because there's not many more ways we can say it. He just got to know better. And somebody has to step in, whether it's Sam just deciding on his own that he's going to get rid of the ball quicker or just take off and run. Or EB saying, you know, we're going to quit game. We are going to simplify everything because we have no choice at this point. But we're not going to survive like this. There's no way.
Right. How do we make it easier for you? We either take the ball out your hand or we give you better outlets to get the ball out. I did hear Hoffman and Paulson. It sounded like on some of those sacks that the receivers might not have been where they were supposed to be either. So there might have been some of that where he's looking for his hot or he's trying to get the ball out, but the receiver's not necessarily where they're supposed to be.
Yeah.
This is new for everybody. Absolutely. We got a lot of young players. This is new for everyone. It's the first time in this offense. So.
Yeah, I mean, I think it was like a great performance, but like part of you going off against Denver kind of maybe fooled people into believing that you're further along than you actually are. Like, let's not forget this: a first-year starting quarterback with 4 career starts and a offensive coordinator that is implementing a whole new offense, that, and you have no idea how it's going to go. Yes, there's glimpses that it's going to be good. There's glimpses that it could be great, but there's going to be days like Sunday where you just get your ass handed to you by a team that's more experienced. They've been together for a long time. They have a good defensive head coach that knows how to scheme against young quarterbacks, and you run to a buzzsaw. It happens, but there are things you have to clean up. You can't survive on just pluck and holding in the pocket and getting these awesome like last second heroics. Like, it's not going to last. You can't win like that in the NFL.
Nah, you damn for sure can't. But the good thing is you get to bounce back the next week, and who better to bounce back against, frankly? Who better to bounce back against than those guys?